Good morning, everyone. Making a last few minute adjustments there. Welcome to the worship services for June 28th, Sunday, a beautiful day it is, 1 week after Father's Day. I hope everyone had a wonderful Father's Day. We thank you for joining us this morning, and as we prepare to begin our worship service, couple of things. Look for some emails and communication from me with regard to getting our approvals for reopening the church for face-to-face worship or in-person worship as we prepare for that next week. Hopefully that all the plans that we've been putting together and the questions we've been answering get answered or get approved, I should say, and we can open up next week with regard to our face-to-face or in-person worship, and we're excited about that opportunity. If not that week, then we're going to look at the next possible week or the next possible week. We know that cases are spiking in the North Texas area, so we're a little bit concerned about that, but we're going to continue to follow the guidance of our bishop and our district superintendent with regard to reopening and just doing it safely. That's our goal, is that we can get together, right, and do it and be able to just come together and do that safely. So we're looking for that and to come to fruition, and hopefully that's all we can do. So a couple of other things, birthdays and anniversaries this week. We have two birthdays. One is Stephen Cochran on the 25th, and then Jackie Pesky was on the 30th. Or it will be on the 30th, excuse me, 2 days from now. And then, so wish them happy birthday when you get a chance. And then also, Chuck and Patricia had their anniversary on the 25th. So celebrating all those things and celebrating all those wonderful folks. Can't wait to see you guys in person again, face to face. And we'll do all those things where we sing the birthdays and the happy anniversaries and all that good stuff. It's just, we need to do that when we get a chance to get back together. And maybe we just sing happy birthday regardless if there's a birthday that week, just so we can catch up on everybody, you know what I mean? Anyway, that's all I have for quick announcements other than those things. There will be an invite if you don't have one already. I'll send out a new invite for our Bible study for this upcoming week on the 1st. And hopefully everyone can join us in that. And if you haven't been getting the invite, send me an email, pastordavid@att.net, and I will include you on the next invitation that I send out. Should be coming out probably tomorrow afternoon. Okay? Anything else, Kim? Did I forget? All right. Thank you, everyone, for dealing with that and suffering through with the pains of the announcements. Let's get busy with our worship. As we begin our worship time, I want you to listen to our centering words, and then we'll join together in our call to worship. Our hearts are weighed down by our attachments in this life. As we enter a time of worship, may we exhale our worries and inhale the Spirit of God that surrounds us. May we find here a space for release and reflection, a space to empty our souls and create a refuge for Sabbath rest. Call to worship. How long, O Lord, how long must we hold on to this pain? How long will the aches of our souls have power over our hearts? How long must we bear the weights of worry and guilt of sorrow? Move beyond the past that holds us captive. We will move forward despite the scars. May God's steadfast love heal our spirits. May God's steadfast love help us discover the road to salvation. Let us sing with renewed voices. Let us sing of divine generosity. Continuing with our opening prayer. Holy One, in whom we bear our souls, we take comfort and courage in your presence. Through your love and light, we are able to explore what it takes to place our trust entirely in you. Help us lovingly put you before all else as we journey the corridors of uncertainty, knowing that your steadfast love shepherds us on paths unknown.
Amen.
And we'll continue to sing together as we affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed. It's number 881 in your hymnals, if you have one at home. And it's also printed right here for you on our order of worship. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. And now it's Kim's... going to bring us our children's message this week.
Yep. Good morning, guys. It's good to see you guys every week, and I'm thinking about you and praying about you, so I hope that things are going well as the temperatures rise and we're getting into summer. This Saturday is actually going to be Independence Day, July 4th, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that because everything that you might be seeing in the news or around is kind of questioning our past and where we come from, and I really encourage you to study that and to read new things and to watch new things to, you know, just try to really understand our past and why it's important, but also understand what part of the past might have been left out that you want to learn more about. One part, though, of the independence journey that I think is important that we don't think about a lot is that our founding fathers were very, very passionate about wanting to believe in what they wanted to believe in and have religious rights to go to church and to do what they wanted to do. It was a major, major part of our independence movement. And we often don't think about that. So we have the privilege of going to church wherever we want and reading the Bible wherever we want and talking about God. And there's countries where places and people can't even do that. And that's a special freedom that we have. Just, you know, it's really powerful. And I really want us to focus on that this week and be thankful for the privilege and the honor to be able to have our faith and our way with our church and our family and our friends, and just really be thankful about that. So think about that this week, that, you know, I'm thankful that I can be in church and have my relationship with God, and I'm so proud and gifted at the war and everything that the veterans have done for us during this time, that I have this ability to still do this. So let's say a prayer, okay? All right. Dear Lord, we thank you for your many gifts. We ask in this time to help with all the things going on in the world, but in that time too, to reflect on the past and the present and the gifts that you've given us. Thank you for the liberty and the faith and the ability to believe in what and who we want to believe, which is, of course, you. We give you so much love and thankfulness during this time, and help us to remember what is important and what should be priority, especially our liberty to believe in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Miss Kim. As she goes to jump on the live stream and follow us along, she'll be sending out a reminder here in just a few minutes, really probably just a few seconds, about our pastoral prayer time and any prayer concerns that you might have. You want to put those in the comments. You can start doing that now, and we will make sure that we get those lifted up at the time when that comes around, okay? We are focusing now, though, on our tithes and offerings, and we'll have a prayer about that. Just a quick reminder for Becker UMC, you can send your tithes and giving to the P.O. Box at P.O. Box 92 in Kemp, Texas, 75143. And also at First UMC Kemp to P.O. Box 327 in Kemp, Texas, also 75143. So either of those two are open and been open the whole time. So if you have some gifts and you've been saving up, go ahead and send them in if you'd like to this week. Hopefully we'll be together face-to-face and we can start putting those back in the plate as we normally do. It won't be exactly normal, but we'll figure that out. And then also, if you want to send electronically, you can send it to PayPal or through PayPal at fumckemp@gmail.com. And don't forget, you have to have your own PayPal account in order to do that, participate through that electronic giving. With all that, let's bow for a word of prayer and ask God to bless the offerings that we are sending in and have sent in, okay? Heavenly Father, we come to you today. We thank you. Lord, there's so many things to be thankful for. Right now, we just want to focus on the gifts that you have given us. These financial gifts, these monetary gifts that you have blessed us with so abundantly. Father, I ask that you bless this giving, this time of giving, that as we return just a small portion of what you have given to us in such abundance. Father, I ask that you bless these gifts, these monetary givings that we return, that they may be multiplied for your great works, not just in our local community, Lord, but far beyond, through our connection in the United Methodist Church. We know that we can reach around the world and glorify your name to those who may have never heard you, who you are, and what you did through your Son on the cross. So, Lord, we just say thank you for all of those things and ask that you bless this time and these gifts as we return them to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, we're going to start our scripture and reading and our message. Our scripture comes from Matthew chapter 10. It's a short little passage today, verses 40 through 42. And as you are following along at home, I give you just a second to find that in your books, but your Bible, excuse me. It's Matthew 10, 40 through 42, and we'll go and hear the word of God. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God indeed, or praise be to God. As I was looking through our lectionary this week, and I was trying to figure out what I would speak on or talk about, and you know, this little passage kind of jumped out at me, and I guess the reason why is because it's kind of this thought of being thankful for things, or this welcoming of things. And you know, one of the things I'm very thankful for is this pandemic that we all find ourselves in. Well, not really the pandemic so much, but that does not mean we are not given opportunities to be welcoming, right? In this thought of what our theme is, whoever welcomes me welcomes, excuse me, I'll get to that in just a second. But there's opportunity to be welcoming and to be hospitable. The point is to share the gospel story as we have experienced it ourselves. That's kind of where Jesus is kind of wrapping up this discourse that he has. He's basically teaching the 12, and he's speaking to them. And it is at this point that that he has kind of given them their kind of final instructions before sending them or asking them to commissioning them to take up the ministries or the mission of the church. And that's the point, right? It's what we are all called to do. This thought of discipleship. And according to Wesley, in my Wesley Study Bible, we are to be hospitable towards others. And in fact, that's exactly what Jesus is telling his disciples in these last few verses of chapter 10. He says, whoever welcomes me, welcomes you, welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me, welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. This last verse, 42, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. That's the piece right there that kind of brings it all home for us, right? And I want us to think about the little ones not as actually children, But those the little ones here, Matthew is really kind of, or the author of Matthew, the book here, is really kind of speaking to little ones in the sense of those that are kind of new to their faith, right? Those that are not as mature as disciples as some of these others that he's already speaking about, right? The prophets and the prophet's reward of the righteous person, and the, you know, and that reward of the righteous. This is a place where we can all join in now in the mission of the church and really think about how we are utilizing our own discipleship and how we are being hospitable to others. The notes from the Wesley Studer Bible, I mentioned this a minute ago, says, it actually says, hospitality is crucial for the spread of the mission. Verbatim, that is what it says about these verses. The only other note there is the disciples are to function as prophets. So those of us that claim our discipleship, that have lived into that discipleship, are living into it. However you're being called by God to follow Christ, that is your response to discipleship, right? That's how you respond to God's word and function in your life, what God has done for us on the cross through Jesus Christ. And that is how you, when you respond, are responding as a disciple. Now, does that mean everyone has to go out and preach the word and proclaim all these great things that God has done? No, not necessarily. Not everyone has to, right? But as part of joining in the mission of the church, we all need to support that process. So whether you're actually being the person that's speaking, or you're being the person that supports the person that speaks, that goes out in the missionary field, if you will, either way, you are the person that is being a part of that church, right? That church mission. You're filling in and you're acting and functioning as a prophet, even if you're not the one who's actually out there every day, or even every week. You know, when you're out there giving a message, you may not be doing that, but you may be supporting me in this process, or you may be supporting somebody else that's the teacher of your Sunday school class. And all these little things that we do is how we respond as disciples, and how we all can be a part of that mission of the church. So how does the scripture make me thankful for this pandemic? Well, as I said, it's not really thankful for the pandemic, but rather thankful for this new opportunity to reconnect with some old friends. And we're doing it in new ways. You know, because we can't be together as we used to be, or we're used to being. We can't, you know, sit there and visit each other at each other's houses, you know, for safety's sake. We've kind of gotten together, started getting together, some friends of mine, and we're able to do it through, you know, electronic media, right? Through FaceTime on our phones, we're able to video chat, basically, and we're able to have some fun and share stories and do these things. And this is kind of before all the issues that the pandemic brought. I actually had trouble sharing a lot of times this gospel story, right? This not change in my life, but this affirmation of what God has done for me. And what we do as far as our discipleship, Kim and I's discipleship. You know, I've actually had some trouble sharing that story with some of my closest friends. And it's not because I feel neglected, or I feel like they wouldn't accept it. It's not that at all. It's just, it doesn't always come up in our day-to-day conversation. I'm hoping that they see, you know, that there is this change in what I do and how I behave. Maybe not always, but certainly I try to behave in a better manner, right? And I try to do these things that God has called me to do, and share what God has done for me through Jesus on the cross. So believe it or not, you know, as we were figuring out, Kim and I were figuring out and finding our way back to our faith, we were not always the people of faith that we are today, right? There was this kind of this process. We didn't always or should I say it this way, ever even attend church on Sunday. We didn't do that. A lot of times you could have found us on a Sunday morning, of all places, at Humperdinck, especially during football season, because we like to watch a lot of football, and we would play this little game called QB1. So many Sundays, you would actually find me at Humperdinck's eating and having a good time and playing my little computerized game to try to predict the plays that the teams were going to run, and I'd get to my fill of football. And I might be there from, 11 o'clock till they closed, just to watch all the games that I could on a Sunday. But that's not how we are now, right? We do not do those things as we used to. We've kind of started going to church, obviously. As that kind of moved into this next phase, and we started figuring out, what it meant to be a part of a church. I think the biggest reason why we were able to go to church and do it regularly was when we finally started looking for a church to attend, and one that we found that we wanted to go to. The biggest reason for both of us, that if you ask us, we had found this church. We looked at several congregations and several different churches and different denominations, but we finally found a church in our hometown here of Mesquite that made us feel like home. They were willing to be hospitable to us and to our family. We had our son at that time, and the three of us really felt like, wow, this is just like an extension of where we live almost. I feel comfortable to do things and say things and participate, and nobody's judgmental about that sort of thing, right? They're not saying, hey, you really are too new to your faith, you don't understand what's going on here or how we do it. It was none of that. It was this, hey, we love that you're here, and what can we do or what can we share that allows you to become more of a part of this congregation? More of a part of the mission of the church. I say this hospitality, right, like it was a big thing. It is a big thing. And I want you to understand that it really is this huge factor in what makes people feel comfortable and what makes people want to come back. And that's what we need to think about. We probably visited 10 or 15 different churches, different denominations, etc., before we found a place, a church home that really welcomed us. And that was really kind of rare, right? Because it made us feel like we were home. And that's almost 20 years ago. We still are friends with those folks that we first met there. A couple of them have passed on and gone on to be with saints. But those that are still there that welcomed us at that very first few weeks that we attended, they're still there. And we still have friendships with them. And it's been really hard, and we really never felt that way. And I shouldn't say that welcomed, right? I shouldn't say that we've never felt that way anywhere else, because there's one other place where we came to this charge, this appointment of Becker and Kemp. This was the next place that we've really felt like we were home, and that means a lot. When you can come to our church and we can be welcoming, when new people come and we are welcoming and we are understanding that God is meeting them where they are and we're just the conduit to help facilitate that, then that's how we share hospitality. When we welcome people without judgment, when we welcome people without concern for what they've done in the past, but more about what we can help them accomplish through Christ now and in the future, that's how we welcome those. And if we are welcoming them and they welcome us, then they also then welcome the one who sent us, just like Jesus is talking about. If they accept Christ, then they also would then accept that relationship with God, that so important relationship. Kim mentioned the thought of independence and what's coming up for us next week and weekend, I should say, and that was a big part of the Founding Fathers' reason for breaking away and coming to the United States. Well, at the time, to the colonies, because there was this oppression about how they could worship, how they could connect with the God of the universe, and they wanted those things removed. They wanted to be able to worship in a way that was meaningful to their life in Christ, right? To their understanding of who God is and what God does for them. And how they can respond. And that's what we offer at our church, at our church is. We have this opportunity as United Methodists. You know what, before I leave that thought of how we felt and that acceptance, there's only been a couple other times since, you know, in the last 20 years that we've felt that. One is, like I said, at Becker and Kemp. One is at First Mesquite. The other place we found it was a United Methodist Church in the greater Houston area, a couple of them down there, where we had had the opportunity to visit while we're down there visiting her folks. I remember we visited one church, and as we were walking in, you know, they met us in the parking lot and, you know, started greeting us and then, you know, helped us get into the building. And then literally the guy from the parking lot hands us off, and we did not know this, but to the senior pastor. The senior pastor of this large church in the Houston area walks us down, and he says, here's a good seat for you guys. And he sits us right there with his family. We had no idea. They were very welcoming. They were very appreciative that we bothered to go up, get up on a Sunday morning to come to church and worship. And that is how churches can be. It doesn't matter if you're small like us, large like that church I'm talking about. When we make it a point to be hospitable, when we make it a point to welcome those who come to visit our doors, who come in, then we are making it possible for them to connect with the God of the universe. I don't know of a better way I don't know of a more important thing that we could do as disciples. More importantly, that we could do as humans, right? As a part of humanity and this society in which we live in, these communities that we are part of, when we can share God, we can share the gospel. There's no greater call on our lives as discipleships or disciples of Christ. That's the mission of the church. And I guess what we should feel that, or we should feel welcomed, or I guess the question I have is really this: shouldn't we feel that everywhere we go, not just at church or at a church that we visit, but as we are around in society, as we walk into the grocery store, shouldn't we feel this acceptance? Shouldn't we be offering that to others? That's the flip side of the question. Shouldn't we be welcoming every time we visit another church? Better yet, shouldn't we be welcoming and hospitable everywhere and all the time? Regardless of where we are and if we are going to answer the call to discipleship, then as Wesley puts it, a crucial piece of that discipleship needs to be hospitality, or it is hospitality. And it's being hospitable to others. It is of the utmost importance that we make it or allow people to feel welcomed while they are in our presence. And better said, while they are in the presence of Christ, in the presence of God. Only then can we begin to share what God has done for us through Christ Jesus. Until we can become that place of comfort for those around us, that feeling like home to those that we meet, they're not likely to hear what we have to say or share about what God has done for us as individuals, or what God has done for everyone on that cross through Christ Jesus. And so again, I open this message with this thanksgiving for the pandemic that we currently face, and that's not really totally accurate. What I mean is that I am thankful for the opportunity to reconnect with some of those people that mean the absolute world to me. These friends that I'm talking about, they are there when I need them. Heck, they're even there when I wish they weren't. You know, when I really just need to be by myself kind of thing. They're there for me, though. They're there to pick me up and understand that no matter where we are or who we are, we all need support. We all need to be supportive of one another. And that's the kind of friendships I have and I've been able to reconnect with during this pandemic of all things, through a device, a piece of technology that I'm now talking to you and connecting to you with, or through this phone. right? This is what we call a phone, this small computer that I carry around in my pocket. They are in a way, I should say in their way, they allow us to be or live in this, into being the disciples that God calls us to be. And when I say us, I mean Kim and I. You know, their understanding of not being able to meet on you know, for things, you know, Sunday morning brunch most of the time, because we're at church and we're serving God in that way. So they get that, and these are the people who have seen, dare I say, the dirty underside of who I can be at my worst, because we all know we're not perfect, and they've seen that, and they love and support me despite all of that. They make me feel like I'm home. Even when we can't be together physically. And honestly, through most of the pandemic, we have been connecting weekly, and it has done wonders for me. It has helped me to realize the importance of those friendships, those family members, and what it means to be a part of God's church and the mission of that church. Many of them have started connecting with us on Facebook and joining us in worship. And this is all because of this pandemic, because they can't visit their own churches. And so they have this opportunity to come to support me here, to support us here as we meet on Facebook, as we share this thought of hospitality and being hospitable to others. Yes, they are a blessing. They help us in so many ways. We're able to laugh at each other, at ourselves, sometimes even at each other, you know, because that's what we do. We, I just quoted one of them just then. But that's how we show each other how much we really care. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing when you can come into a place and those people that know you the best, regardless of your shortcomings, they still love you. They still support you. They still know that you can be the best you can be with each and every day. That's a blessing. And that's how we are as a church. And that's what we need to do each and every day with this thought of coming together again, being able to come together and be in a place of worship face to face again and in person. When that day gets here, whether it's this Sunday coming up on the 5th or maybe a couple Sundays from now, regardless of when that time does come, we know that we have this opportunity to continue to share the hospitality and be hospitable to those that are coming in to our worship service. And when I say our worship service, I mean God's worship service. We're there to worship God, not each other. We're there to connect with the God of the universe and have that relationship and get fed by the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what we want for anybody that comes in to our sanctuary. The problems that we have with regard to ourselves, these imperfect vessels that we are, this wonderful thing about the God of the universe, God still calls each and every one of us. God calls each of us to be a part of that church mission. And it amazes me that God can use me, that God can use you to welcome others into that same relationship that we have and that we share. I get inspiration to do what I do as a disciple from the disciples that are around me. Not just then when I was very young in my faith and refinding and trying to get back to God, but now where I feel like I am a more mature Christian with many faults, but still more mature. And that's where we are, right? That's where a lot of us find ourselves. As we move forward and we continue that faith journey, we find this way to become more like Christ, and we also find a way to share Christ with others. Even if it's through a FaceTime call once a week as we play darts. Even if it's on a golf weekend when we get a chance to be together. even if it's here on Facebook Live as we worship together in this unfortunate new normal that we see in what we're forced to do with regard to what's going on around us. But the safest way to respond right now is to do this online. When we get back together, there'll be some changes. It won't be the same as we always thought it was, and we see it. We'll have to figure out how we become a worshiping body that is still doing it in a safe manner, that we're not causing others to become ill. But that's where we are. That's how it is for us today. So yes, I guess perhaps I am thankful for the pandemic in some aspect, because it has brought me back to some of the very good people, some of the very best people I've known my whole life, or most of my life. These are the people that can lift me up, that continue to lift me up. And maybe more importantly, they also bring me back down when I'm feeling too good about myself, when I'm feeling too lofty of who I am, right? They can bring me back down and make me realize that I am still just a follower of Christ, someone that points to God, someone who points to that relationship I have with Christ that allows me to connect with that God of the universe. I guess I can say I am thankful for this pandemic. I'm thankful for the God. And I want to say thank you to God for their hospitality, their example of hospitality. And I say thank you to God for, even in the midst of all of this, that you have given us your Son. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come to our time of pastoral prayer, and as you guys know, I shouldn't say know the drill, but if you're new to us today, I just ask that you type any prayer concerns that you have into the comments, and we'll lift those up. And those that after a minute or so, I'll close us with a prayer, and then we could also finish together with the Lord's Prayer. As people lift up their concerns, we want to say, Lord, hear our prayer. And I think we saw one here that a prayer of thanksgiving for Leslie Parker. Lord, hear our prayer of thanks. Thank you for that joy we got lifted up today. As you have other names, and if it's unspoken, you don't want to speak it, you can just type in unspoken. I'll make updates to the prayer concerns and send them out next week. So all those things and how we connect, I just ask that you continue to pray and lift up those names on the list, that they may be receiving God's comfort, God's healing, whatever it is that they're in need of at this moment. From Elizabeth, a colleague who has tested positive, Lord, hear our prayer. Peaceful transitions, Lord, hear our prayer. Unspoken, Lord, hear our prayer. Hope to see you too, Ed. Lord, hear our prayer. Let's bow for a word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings you give us. Lord, this opportunity to be online and worship and still connect with you in a way that is meaningful, that moves us, that allows us to continue to say yes to the God who said yes to us. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that grace that you pour out on us, that grace upon grace that Paul talks about in so many of his letters to the Corinthians and Romans, this opportunity that we have to just be lifted up and that grace that you pour out on us, that we have this opportunity to be here today and say thank you. Well, we're thankful for that. Father, we know there are many on our list and on our hearts that need you in a way that is of healing, of comfort, of peace. Father, we ask that you be with those folks, whether they're spoken or unspoken. Father, you know who is in need and you know who is on our hearts. Even before we say their name or the name could be thought of in our mind, you know who they are. Father, we just ask that you provide for their needs. We ask that you use us in a way, especially now when we have to be careful, but we ask that you could still use us to provide for those needs. Help us to find ways that we can reach out and be a part of those lives of those people that care about us and that we care so much about. Father, we ask all these things in your Son, Christ Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. One last one that came in. Brett Lamb, Lord, hear our prayer. We come to our hymn, the one hymn, and this one is number 430 in your hymnals. It's on the order of worship if you got that, so I hope you did, because otherwise I'm singing to myself, and boy, that's really tough. So I ask that you sing with me where you are, and allow me to at least allow yourselves, I should say, to drown out my dreary voice at times. So number 430, O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee. Oh, Master, let me walk with thee in lowly paths of service free. Tell me thy secret, help me bear the strain of toil, the fret of care. Help me the slow of heart to move by some clear winning word of love. Teach me the wayward feet to stay and guide them in the homeward way. Teach me thy patience still with thee in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps my faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong, in hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way, in peace that only thou canst give. With thee, O Master, let me live. And our benediction. God's steadfast love is etched into our souls. May we carry it with us always, whether welcoming the stranger, whether risking all we have, whether facing the cross, whether wrestling with God's call, whether freeing ourselves from our past. God is our constant companion on this journey. Amen. Y'all have a blessed day and a wonderful week. Like I said, be looking for those emails from me later today and tomorrow. And hopefully we will all be together soon, face-to-face, and doing this in the new normal world of COVID-19 as we get together, hopefully in this next week. So y'all have a wonderful week again, and I hope that you guys, if you need anything, I should say, just reach out. PastorDavid@att.com. I'm att.net, not .com, att.net. All right, love you. See you soon.